His third excuse was this: what if they don't believe me? I'm sure this is a familiar ground. Reason why a lot haven't set out to achieve so much for the gospel. They are afraid of the what if question. What if they don't listen? What if I don't make sense? What if they don't believe? What if I lay my hands and they don't get healed? What if I declare it and it doesn't come to pass? Excuse is a natural human instinct. It's a natural human fear. And so Moses was also set out to give this excuse to God. What if they don't believe me? God didn't allow this excuse as well. He told him the miraculous signs he should perform. As he showed him earlier, the miracles of the rod becoming a serpent and turning back into a rod, his hand becoming leprous white and turning back to normal, and the miracle of water becoming blood. God already has answers. God is already ahead of us. In fact, he goes ahead of us in all things. All he requires for us is to follow him instead. I mean, as he follow, he makes his word come to pass. He manifests his presence, he manifests his power through us as we obey him. Excuse Moses gave was that he was not good enough with words. I'm not eloquent enough. I stutter. That can be seen in Exodus 4:10. I love God's response to him. He says, who placed a mouth in humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. This also shows that God doesn't call the flawless, but he works his flawless plans through our cracked and broken vessels. No excuse was good enough for God. God had help. He had provision for whatsoever excuse that Moses was giving to him. So also it is today. We have the help of God. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference in our lives. He says, wait for me in Jerusalem when you'll be endued with power from on high. We have power. And because we have power, we have all it takes. Moses finally speaks his mind in Exodus 4:13. Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Anyone else but me. This also seems a familiar ground. Most of the times, you hear when people are giving themselves over to spiritual activities and others are just aloof. Someone says, I stayed up all night yesterday to spend time with God. The other person says, Ain't here. I came back yesterday very late, but I still had to read my Bible for over 30 minutes. It says, Ain't here. It's not for us. It's for people like you. It's for the pastors. It's for the spirit coco. After all, we didn't crucify the Lord Jesus. Friends, you're just giving excuses like Moses. Moses was not ready for any responsibility. God revealed the heart of the problem as he spoke to Moses. The problem was not in the excuses. The problem was the state of Moses' heart. But I love the response of God all the time. God offered him a promise and a provision. when our lives are clogged with too many unimportant things that do not have eternal value, and we continually give ourselves over to them, fulfilling our ministry becomes a bit difficult. At this state, our hearts are not completely surrendered. We should be willing at all times to step out in faith and obey God. I said to step out in faith and obey God, because that is the only way to go. We cannot do it by our own abilities. We cannot do it by the way we feel or the way we want it. But as we step out in faith, obeying God, results we surely follow after. What other excuses do we have today? I'm too young. I'm very weak. I don't have a job. I haven't gotten admission. My job is too demanding. Whatever excuse it is, God has a plan for carrying out His rescue mission on earth. We are it. No excuses. Amen. The second personality we quickly look at this morning is the man Elijah. Elijah was a man of miracles. He was bold, courageous, victoriously taking all kinds of odds. He prayed that there should be rain and there was rain. He prayed that there should be drought and there was drought. He multiplied the meal and the oil. He raised a dead child. He divided Jordan. He outran Ahab's horse and did many other miracles. But he became chicken-hearted. He became afraid. Even after defeating 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, the threat of Jezebel sent him into exile. Discouragement set in. Discouragement is the devil's tool to blind us in the present to what God will do in the future. Discouragement derails and immobilizes one's ministry, as seen with Elijah. When we get our eyes on people and what they have done or what they have said, we fail to see God at work. When our eyes are on people, whether in admiration or resent, we miss the mark. When our focus is on the physical rather than the spiritual, we lose focus on God. We expect accolades from men. We want immediate results. We want men to applaud us. And we continuously lose focus in God. Elijah tried hiding away from God. He forgot all God had done through him. His focus was now on Jezebel's threats. Discouragement set in when things don't work out the way we feel it should. When we focus on expectations and make immediate results the source of our happiness, security, and significance, we end up in what I call the Elijah syndrome. We become fearful, ready to run away, depressed, fearful, and frustrated. This is the point we call the point of complete burnout. One of the ways to wage against discouragement is never to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. Walking by faith doesn't mean we should ignore problems. Rather, it means that we should stay focused on God and look beyond the problems through the eyes of faith. We should continue to do the things God has called us to, giving ourselves over to prayers, the study of God's word, and good counsel. Elijah, rather than respond to God, was reacting to Jezebel's words. The lesson here is to always keep our focus on Christ and not allow our lives get lost in the fog of life. Three possible things that caused Elijah's discouragement are: one, unrealized personal expectation. He was expecting revival and reformation after the death of the 450 prophet of Baal. Instead, he experienced rejection and hatred against his life. He failed to realize that God was still at work, regardless of the way things turn out. The second reason was that he was given over to self-pity. He was angry at himself, angry at God. He felt people didn't care. He felt God had let him down. He felt he was alone. And these are the feelings that we have at times in our lives. We allow anger to fester. We quickly lose our perspective and begin to imagine things that only reinforce our bad feelings and increase our depression. But in this case, Elijah was disappointed when God said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him." 1 Kings 19:18. The third point was that he had a wrong thinking about himself. He felt he was indispensable. He felt he was left alone. All seemed hopeless without him. He felt he was so important. He says, "I'm zealous for the Lord, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, and I only is left." He also saw himself as a failure. One factor we must always understand is that progress might not be immediate, especially in spiritual matters. There's the example of the Chinese bamboo. For 4 years after it is being planted, nothing is seen. But sometime in the fifth year, it shoots up 90 feet in 60 days. The 90 feet height was not achieved just in 6 weeks. They grew 5 years. Our lives and ministry are of the same like. We can refer to them as the bamboo tree. Sometimes we put forth more effort, and nothing seems to happen. But I can assure us that if we do the right things long enough, we will receive the rewards of our efforts.